Okay, so let's take a look. Let's go see over here. We have a new Mefarish. Let's see how his take on the first 2-3 Pesukim. Rabbeinu Bechaye, it's on page 403. Okay, 403. Gam Anshe Ninve Nigzraleim. He's like, it's a little bit strange. Like, he's starting in the middle of nowhere. And by the way, we did not yet do. We just started a little bit the Malbim. No, we do. We did the Malbim. We did the Malbim.
Yes.
So let's just look here. Let's just do the Rebbeinu Bechaye and the Gedol. Let's see. Rebbeinu Bechaye first. Page 403 on the bottom. Gaman shenin ve nigzraleim gezer lefi shachayir shoyim the anshe gezel v'chamos keder hamabel. First thing he says is, his introduction is, the people of Nineveh, they were wicked. They were wicked people. They were no different than the people of the Mabel, who were guilty of gezel v'chamos. And the Rashi, the Pasuk in Parashas Noach tells us that the Mabel was sealed because of gezel v'chamos. How do you know this? We're going to have over here later on, we have possible, but we already learned this, the expression, ki olasa ra'asam lefonai. This, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, is equivalent to what it says in Parshas Noach regarding the Dor HaMabul, ki rabo ra'as ha'odam ba'aretz. Now, it's not exactly the same pasuk. One is referring to the evil coming before Hashem, and here in Nineveh it says ki rabo ra'as ha'odam ba'aretz. Okay, let's leave it for that for now. V'liben akasav ki rasam shava v'chetam doime zelazeh. Their sin was equivalent to the chet of the Dor HaMabul. Uzman yuidas hageshem b'Dor HaMabul hu arbom yoim. The amount of time that the korban took place over a period of 40 days. Shenemar Vayihi Hageshem al Oretz Arboim Yoim. Okay, 40 days was the primary time of punishment. We do know that the, for 150, I think it's for 150 days, the waters 150. So that appears to be a side effect. The Ikor, that's a topic of discussion in and of itself, but according to the Rabbeinu Bachya, the Ikor, the primary moment of Chorban, or period of time of Chorban, was the first 40 days. V'gam be'anshe Nineveh nosan lohem zman lepor anusam arboim yoim shnemar. Later on, oid arboim yoim v'Nineveh ne poches. Nineveh, again, he's making this very powerful comparison. Okay, that itself is a very, very powerful idea to connect the entire story of Nineveh to the Dor HaMabul. We learn over here, we have a similar expression telling us that the chet is gezel and chomos. Number two, the second element is the 40 days. The korban took place over a period of time of 40 days. V'yafal pi shahayu anshe Nineveh me'umois ha'olam. Kevon, and even though that was the major topic that we discussed in most of the commentators here, that why does Hashem take an interest in the Umayis Ha'olam? Kevon sheshavu b'shuva v'shavu ish midarkoi hara'o min hechamas asher b'chapehem. Nevertheless, even though they're not part of Klal Yisrael, and the rules of the Torah do not necessarily apply to them, once they did teshuva, kiblam HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shuva v'nispat l'hagzera, now he begins his interpretations pasuk by pasuk. So again, this is his introduction, and it's a very important thing to keep in mind. We're going to create a parallel between the Mabul and Nineveh. And
is it a real
Well, he's saying it is. Yeah.
It says that the flood or the rain lasted 40 days, correct?
Correct.
And here, he's giving Nineveh a 40-day warning period.
Okay, that's correct. It's not exactly the same. Very good. It's not a perfect match. Also, where is the 150 days? Okay, obviously it's not exactly the same, but the fact that the number 40 is used in the context of both of them is significant. What is the difference? Maybe as we go through the Sefer, we'll come across some more ideas. Okay, but it's worth noting that he's laying out two major yesoidos in his hakdama to the Sefer. Number one, matching it, the sin, the chait, is equivalent to the chait of the Dor HaMabul. Gezel the chomos. Number two, the punishment shares similarities. And the only thing that it says, at least for now, is the number 40. Okay, and that we'll have to come and elaborate as we go through the psukim. Pasuk Aleph in Beis Rabbeinu Bachya. V'hidvar Hashem Elyon Abenamita Leimad Kumlech El Ninve Yagdil HaKro Leha. V'chin Muskar B'Tara V'yasresen Bein Ninve U'Bein Kolach Hi Ho'ir HaGadola. In Chumash, we learn about the city Ninve. Nineveh is not a new city. This is not something that was first built in the time of the Bayis, time of Yonah. And Yonah, we it's not so clear when Yonah lived. We discussed that a little bit. When did Yonah live? But whenever it was much later than what it says in the Torah, in the beginning of Bereshis. So we know that there was an ancient city called Nineveh. Resen was between Nineveh and Kolach. Hi Ho'ir HaGadoyla. When it says in the pasuk Ir HaGedoyla, so it seems that the Rabbeinu Bachi is telling us a very Kiddush that I never learned the pasuk like this. When I learned, we learned the pasuk V'yesresen Bein Ninveh Bein Kolach Hi Hu Ir HaGedoyla. What are those three words going back on?
Right.
Resen.
That's what it would say.
Isn't that the pshut? If you want to go say it's not, so then the next thing you would say is going on Kolach. Because Resen is between Ninveh and Kolach, Hi Ho'ir HaGedoyla. Either the words Hi Ho'ir HaGedoyla are going either on Resen or on Kolach.
Right.
And yet, Rabbeinu Bachi is Mechadesh. No, none of the above. Hi Ho'ir HaGedoyla is going on Ninveh. How do you know it? Because here it says in Pasuk Beis, Kum Lech El Ninveh Ho'ir HaGedoyla. Unbelievable. So it's an incredible insight that Novi, Sefer Yoinah, is being Megale, the Pshat, in Chumash. How often do you have...
Does the Torah specify that even as Ninveh,
right?
So it's sort of like focuses on that place.
Right, but you wouldn't know, these are ancient places, yeah. So it's an incredible Chiddush. It's an incredible chiddush to say that I mean, that's what it appears he's saying here is that when it says in the pasuk Hi Ho'ir HaGedoyla, it's going on the middle Resen, the city Resen is Bein Ninveh Bein Kolach, and Ninveh is the Ir HaGedoyla. That's what it appears he's saying. Okay, now we turn to
Isn't it in the English? It says that it's Tunis, that Ninveh was Tunis.
Okay.
That's what it says.
Okay.
Now, but obviously that would make it an Africa.
Think it's in Iraq. Iraq.
Right. I mean, I'm assuming it was the capital of Babel.
Okay, now let's look over. Now we turn to page 405, page 405. It's under the Ibn Ezra. It continues, Yoimar, Ki Resen Hoysa Medina Mutsa'as. The city Resen was somewhere in the middle. Bein Ninveh Ho'ir HaGedoyla Ubein Kolach HaKetana Mikulon. Okay, so he's just explaining exactly what we just said, is that he's coming to translate the pasuk in Chumash that Resen was a medium-sized city in between the small city called Kolach, which was a teeny city, and Ninveh, which the pasuk concludes is the Ir HaGedoyla. Next, Ukro Oleha, we discussed this expression at great length before Yom Tif, called Kriya Al, every time we have the word Kro in connection with the word Oleha, Al Ayin Lamid, Baal Hi Lipuranos. Okay, that's a rule. Kama Kro Olai Moed Lishbar Bachroin Echa, Kro designate or call upon me a set time to destroy my young men. This is a rule. These two words go together, indicate things are not good. Ki also rasam lefanai cheta b'chei dor hamabul shekasi bochem ki rabba ra'a sa'an. So since it says over here the word olusa or ra'as, I'm not sure exactly which word, which why he insists that this is a connection to the hamavel. It's not exactly clear, but he's saying here that is what is the same. Okay. Okay, that includes Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay, let's just take a look at some other quick mafarshim. Let's look at the Chidah. The Chidah on page 402. Okay, the Chidah says,
Vayihid Rashi and the Chumash says that it's talking about Ninveh.
He says Ninveh also. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Rashi says it.
He Ninveh is the Yahagdoyla.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to learn Rashi, unfortunately. I don't know my Rashi.
Rashi gets that. And he quotes Yonah.
Okay, so they're both on the same page. Okay, very good. Okay, I didn't know the Rashi. I'm embarrassed. I did not know. Rashi is the Iko Shebi Kodim. Let's now look at the Chidah.
Rashi's quoting the Bereshit Rabbah.
The Medrash. So they're both really quoting from a Medrash. It's a Medrash that makes it clear as day that when it says Yair Gedoyl is referring to Ninveh, not Resin, not Kolach. Okay, page 402. Let's look at the Chidah. Chaimus Anach Vayid Rashi Mal Yal Yoyna Mefarshim Nasnu Tam Lama Nichtav Nevuah Zu Shachaytza Leuus Olam. Okay, so we discussed this and all the commentators. Why are we learning about a Nevuah that was said to the Umas Olam? It's unique. Almost all of the nevuahs in Tanakh were said to Klal Yisrael. Now, even though we know that there were other nevuahs, Yeshaya and Yirmiyah and Yecheskel did indeed give over messages to the Umay Yisraelam, but that was a sideshow. The main thrust of their nevuah was to Klal Yisrael, and Mimela, we threw in a few things in regard to the Umay Yisraelam. Yoina is exclusive. His only nevuah is to the Umay Yisraelam. So that is what is so disturbing. Why would we include in the Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh an entire sefer that is miyuchid for the Umay Yisraelam? So we learned the Mefarshim gives the reason. Also, Tam Lam Nechavah the Nevuah Zu Shaitzim Yisraelam the Mishum Yavai to Eles Sheyisraelu Yisrael. So he first quotes the Radak. One of many answers that we have given is that we will learn from them. A benefit will come to Klal Yisrael. They will be aroused. Shagoyim takef nichnu lenavi v'shamu l'koyloi. They would witness how the nation, Ninveh, they immediately did teshuvah. And Klal Yisrael should learn from them. U'mikol shekein anachnu shetzlichim l'shmoya l'kol hanavim v'naaseh teshuvah. That's number one. Number two. V'gam l'chodiyah hanisim ha'mufloyim sh'asohu yisprach l'yonah v'ashohu mekabel shavim. Ad Kan Devarim, the second time the Radak gave was to show how far Hashem is willing to go to help a person do teshuva. Hashem allowed Yonah to miraculously survive the ordeal of living in a fish for a number of days, just that he can reach his destination and give over a message to the people of Ninveh so they should do teshuva. Hashem, we learn how much it means to Hashem. The Yoid. Okay, so we discussed that. I think maybe we did this was the gra. We're not doing the gra again. We did enough of the gra. We learned the gra that this whole story of Ninveh is all a remez to the neshama and the guf. The neshama, Hashem sends Yoina. Yoina is a semel for the neshama. Ninveh is the guf. And the neshama doesn't want to do its mission. It does not want to influence the guf to elevate, to take the guf and elevate it to serve Hashem. The whole sefer, as we'll go through the sefer, according to the gra, which is based upon a zoyar, is all a remes. Musav is oros gadol milvad kama rozin ilin b'chol oitz v'oitz kanoida. Besides the fact that as we go through the sefer, we'll come across many fascinating secrets. Secrets. Okay, let's go further. Mechaymus Hanach, which now turns to page 405. Mimenu Yis. Wait, did I go to the right page? Kanoida. Mincha Gadola. Wait. So where is the next? Where's the
405 on the left in the middle.
405 on the left. In the middle. In the middle. But it says Yoimar. That's in the middle of nowhere.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mimenu.
He also lost on the corner.
Are you in 405?
405.
Okay.
That's the right side. The right side. On the left column.
Left column.
Left column on 405. You're on the right side.
Oh, I'm on the Mincha Gedolah. I'm sorry. I got confused in the Chaimis Anoch and the Mincha Gedolah. I'm sorry. Ki al sara sam lefonai hagam the midah haflaga ein hagayim paig mim lemal chas shalom ela begam hu umay soilam hu besar shalom. Okay, so saying, oh, what is it over here? What is it over here that the pasuk says that their evil has come before me? The umay soilam have no ability to cause damage. That the Ra should come before Hashem. Hagam de Midor Haflaga. Hagam de Midor. From the time of the Dor Haflaga, Hashem prevented a nation from being so evil that they could affect that their evil can destroy the world. Let's just read a little bit more and I'll explain. Ein Hagoyim Poigmim Lamala. A goy cannot make damage. Their evil can never reach a level where they can cause damage. Lamal chas v'shalom. So ella pegam u'moy so'olam hu besar shal u'mo hahi. The most damage a nation can do is cause harm to its guardian angel. But their evil can never reach a state where it comes before Hashem. And let me explain that a lot of the comments is a very deep idea. I saw this from Rabbi Wolfson very, very, very quickly. We once discussed this. Mm-hmm. When the Teva landed, it's very good, very appropriate for after Pesach. For Pesach, when the Teva landed, where did the Teva land after the Mabel? Al Hore Ararot. The Gemara in Masechet Pesachim says that you cannot be yoytze idei choivas matzah with wheat that grows on Horei Ararat. What do we know about the mountain of Ararat? What do we know about it? We know almost nothing about it. There's only one Maimon Chazal we have that tells us the unique characteristic of Horei Ararat, the mountain where the Teva landed. The wheat that grows there is unique. Due to the climate and the environment, that wheat can never turn into chametz. You can take the wheat, you can soak it, you can crush it, you can turn it into flour, and knead it with water. It will not turn into chametz. Therefore, it's not kosher for matzah. Because in order for something to be kosher for matzah, there must be potential for the flour to turn into chametz. And you, when you bake it, you nip it in the bud. Okay, when you bake it, you nip it in the bud, and you prevent it from turning into chametz by baking it. But the wheat that grows in Horei Ararat is so hard; it's so unique due to the climate and the environment, it cannot turn into chametz. Now, what is chametz? Chametz represents the se'or shebi'isa, the yeast of the dough, which is the yetzer hara. So on Pesach, what are we obligated to do 7 days a year? Do not eat chametz. Do not associate yourself with what is a symbol for the yetzer hara. Case 7 days a year, we stay away from the Yetzirah. The Mabel was because, why was did Hashem have to destroy the world? It is because Ki Yetzir Lev HaAdam Ra Min Urav, man allowed himself to be affected by his Yetzirah. And the world, the degree of evil that man, the sins that man committed at that time, were so great. We're so deep-rooted, Hashem had no choice but to destroy the world. When Hashem began to rebuild the world, basically he put into motion, he put in insurance, safeguards, that man can no longer reach a level where his evil will come to a point where he will destroy the world. And as a symbol of showing that I'm diminishing your power to be so evil, Hashem had the Teva land in a location where Chometz does not exist. There's no potential. Now, with that, we lost a lot, because it's always Zeh Le'uma Zeh Bara Elokim. If we have potential for there to be a very great Yetzirah, that automatically means there's potential for there to be a very great level of Kedusha. And if Hashem's going to take away from us the level, the potential of the Yetzirah, so we're going to lose the potential of Kedusha as well. When there's no Nevuah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Koyach of Nevuah, when Hashem took away from us the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, with that, we lost the Koyach of Nevuah. It's always going to be Zeh Le'uma Zeh Bara Elokim. So before the time of the Mabul, this goes very well with Rabbeinu Bachya, that's coming over here to make a comparison between the Chet, between the Dor HaMabul, between the... He's mentioned the similarity, but before the Mabul, the people had the ability to destroy the world with their sins. After the Chet HaEgel, after the Mabul, no longer was it possible for man to reach a level of sin where Hashem would destroy the world. As a symbol of showing that's no longer possible, the Teva landed in a place where Chometz does not exist. So based upon that, the Chida is asking, how can this pasuk say, Ki olasa ro'osom lefonai? Their evil has come, reached all the way before me. It can't happen. It's no longer possible from the time of after the Mabul, beginning with the Dor HaFlaga, that the evil of man should be so bad that it could reach such a state, ki ol soro osam lefonai. Okay, I'll give you a very secular mashal. Okay, and I find this to be very, very fascinating. You all today have smartphones, right? Everyone today has a smartphone. The smartphone is built upon 25 years of PCs. Personal computers. What was the thing which destroyed the PC, which cost the industry hundreds of trillions of dollars? Viruses. You built an operating system, all different types, whether it was Linux, whether it was Windows, all the variations, and evil people came along and they infected the operating system with cruel code, which hijacked its resources and did all of these things in secret and caused major havoc and chorban in this world. Okay, people got into the core code of what runs your computer. So when Google and Apple invented this thing called a smartphone, what they did was they completely completely sealed the core elements of the operating system, where it's nearly impossible for anything to get inside and corrupt the system. And that is why you don't really hear much about viruses on smartphones. There are no viruses on smartphones, because the smartphones is all built upon a response to 25 years of the curse of not protecting the core operating system. Now, however, it's very interesting. It used to be when you have a smartphone, you have no clue how powerful even the simplest smartphone is. It is you cannot even begin to imagine what it can do. The problem is you can't even use a fraction of its power because it's sealed. In order to protect it from manipulation and manipulation of hackers, it has to be sealed, and the offset of sealing it dramatically diminishes its power by an enormous percent. Now, what you can do is, I did this to my smartphone, my old smartphone. I got it called rooted. You know what it means, rooted? You take off the protection. It's very complicated. You have to hire a professional to do this. And it's illegal, not illegal, but you void the warranty. It could be even illegal in some places. To root your smartphone. Asalaamu Alaikum, welcome back. When you root it, and you take off that protection, you cannot even begin to imagine what you can do with it. It's like having 25 PCs. This is mamash a mashal for Maaseh Bereishis. In Maaseh Bereishis, there was no protection. Hashem created a world. The koichos in this world that Hashem allowed man to do, allowed man to create, to do, was unfathomable. Problem is, man took the resources that were available in this world, manipulated them, and destroyed the world. So Hashem said, you want to go use the resource of this world for evil? I have to destroy the world. When Hashem rebuilt the world, he rebuilt it with layers and layers of protection that man can no longer destroy the world, but the consequences are the potential to create, the potential to achieve, to accomplish is severely limited. Now, here, the Achida is coming to challenge this pasuk. Ki olasa ro'asam lefanai. These are words that are so powerful. The evil of man has entered into my chamber. What do you mean the evil of man has entered into my chamber? That was the whole purpose of the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul was to destroy this world, to rebuild it with layers and layers of safeguards where man can no longer be evil, no longer has potential to be so evil, where such a thing could happen that the evil can come, lefonai, into Hashem's inner chamber. Cannot be. That's what is bothering the Chida. One more time these words. It's a very, very powerful idea. Hagam, demidor hamaflaga, ein hagoyim poigmim lamal chas v'shalom. From the time of the Dor HaFlog, it is impossible for the Umos Olam to be poigim, to damage, for their evil to all the way reach, all the way to heaven. Poigmim lamal chas v'shalom, ela pagam ela, the most that a nation can do, the most damage they can do, is damage their guardian angel, whatever that means. But not to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to enter in the chambers, the upper chambers of Hashem. Ela pagam ha'uma ha'uma yis'olam hu besar shal ha'uma ahi. K'mar shakasuv mori zikeni harav chesed li'avram zal. Mikol makoim, ha'mekatrugim shenasu nischazku ma'oy b'mekatrugim nevertheless. So he's coming over here, he's not really answering the question. He's just saying, even though indeed the evil was not that great that can actually come into Hashem's chamber, but the mekatrugim, the complainers, the malachim who were coming, the prosecutors who were complaining about man's misdeeds, man's evil, they were knocking on Hashem's door, demanding justice. V'zehu, and that's what it means, olasa ra'asam shehu ha'makadreg v'hu ra'asam mamish. Okay, he doesn't really answer the question. The question over here is just much better than his answer. Yeah. That's the first door. The Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul was the door where Hashem, they did destroy the world. And that's why they did sins. They did sins that were so terrible where Hashem had to destroy the world. The Dor HaFlogel was the first door after the Mabul. And starting from then, no matter how bad man is, his evil can never reach a level where it's necessary for Hashem to destroy the world. Or, in other words, it's not possible that their evil should reach a level where you can use such harsh terms. Ki olasa ro'asam lefanai. Those words have a connotation. Evil is so great, it's just off the charts. That potential to reach such a level of evil came to an end at the conclusion of the Dor HaMabul. No more. Now we're going to start fresh. And in this new fresh world, we have safeguards. And the safeguards will prevent there ever being such a thing as a need to destroy the world, as a potential for them there can be something called also Rosam Lefonai. So how then can it say these words also Rosam Lefonai in the time of Ninveh? No, Lavdafka. It means the Mekatrigim. It means there are some prosecutors. The district attorney is knocking on the door. It doesn't mean actually, the evil was so great that the evil entered before Hashem's chambers. Okay, next.
If you want to dash in the words by Migdol Baga and by Sidon, yeah. It says Erdono Vieret.
Erdono. Ah, very good.
I had to go down.
I had to go down.
As opposed to.
By the Mabul, he's saying that the evil went all the way up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Rabbeinu Bechayis says. Yeah, Rabbeinu Bechayis shrines, okay.
Looking at the words.
Very good, very good. Ubishim Hochi, that's why Baruch Yoina, Shagoyim, Yeshuvu, Avshenim, Paigmim, Lamala. Ah, so now he's giving us an entirely new insight. That is why Yoina ran away. Shagoyim, Yeshuvu, Avshenim, Paigmim, Lamala. The Yisrael Chashachas v'Sholem Hapagam Magil L'Mayel K'Biyachol Einim Chayzim V'Do Oka. Now I don't know what those words are like. This is a diuk. V'Do this Oka. No, does anyone know what the word Oka means? I don't know what the word Oka means. V'Do Oka. This is gotta look it up. But what he's saying over here is he's coming to tell us the very chiddush is that Klal Yisrael to a degree still has the power. Hashem has still given them power. Of greatness, which means they can cause very great harm. They can cause very great harm, and that's the difference between us and the Umay Sa'ilam. The way what he appears to be saying is that Yonah did not want to go and give Musar to the Umay Sa'ilam because by them doing teshuvah, it's very easy. Because when they do teshuvah, there's not much to do because the damage they've done is not so great. There's not much of a repair job that needs to be done. So when they need to do tshuva, they can repair a small damage. But when Klal Yisrael becomes evil and they do ra, the damage that they do is so deep and so harsh. To repair the damage. Is much too difficult. So it's almost like a limud zechus, he's saying over here, is the reason why Klal Yisrael, when the Navi gives them musar, they don't listen, is because they realize how deep the damage is and the amount of work and effort that's necessary to repair the damage is beyond our abilities. Or it's just too much effort. When the Umay Sa'ilam do evil, there's not that much they can possibly do. They're sheltered. They're limited in what they can do. Therefore, when they need to do teshuva, it's not such a big deal to do teshuva. So that's why it's too easy for them. And maybe that's why Yonah over here, it's not fair. I'm going to give them more, so they're going to do teshuva, because it's a big deal. They just need to go make some renovations. When we need to do teshuva, we need to knock down the whole building and start from fresh. Distress. So this is a distressful thing. This is the problem. Problem is it's not fair. Yonah felt it's not fair to me to give Musa to the Umay Sa'ilam. It's too easy. And when it comes to Klal Yisrael, there's going to be a contrast in Shemayim. How come the Goyim, they do Teshuvah, and Klal Yisrael doesn't do Teshuvah? I know the answer. Because when the Goyim do Teshuvah, there's not much to do Teshuvah for. Because the damage they can, the potential of damage that they can do is not so great. For Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, that's very, very hard. But the malachim, the prosecuting angels, don't go for that answer. They don't like that answer. It's a true answer. It's correct. But for whatever reason, it's not going to work in Shemayim, and that is why he is running away. Okay, so this is a very interesting idea from the Chaimus Anoch. Let's just do some Lakute. Let's do some of the
Lakute. Maybe that's why God felt, by the time of the Mabul, Lukati's populated world was concentrated in one area. The purpose of, by the Dora Flogo, was separating all the people all over so there wouldn't be an evil concentration where you would be forced to destroy everybody because they all lived in one area.
So that is a thing that's part of it. By decentralizing everyone, so the potential for evil can reach a high.
So by Sodom, he only had to kill those.
Not the entire world. Okay, so it's a different type of idea. Okay, it's a different type of idea. Okay, let's take a look at the Likutei Shas, short, and then we're going to begin Pasuk Gimel. Just one or two Maamar Chazal. On the bottom of page 405, Kum Lech El Ninvei Hoir HaGedoyle Ukro Lecha Ki Olasar Rasam Lefanai HaKoyvesh Es Nivuaso Ki Yonah Ben Amitai Amar Abiyoyna Yonah. The Gemara says a person, a Navi that's Koyvesh Nivuaso is Chayev Misa. And the Gemara gives an example. Who is an example of a person, of a Navi that was Koyvesh Es Nivuaso? Ki Yonah Ben Amitai Amar Abiyoyna Yoina ben Amitai Nevi Emes Haya. He was a Navi Emes. At might say, Bishosh Amalek Hadash Baruch Hu Kum Lech Linvei Hu Yirah Gedil Lekro Lecho Ki Olsa Rasul Fanai. Amar Yoina, Yodei Ani, Shagoyim Kiroivim Teshuvahein, they will do Teshuvah easily. Vahareini Hoylecho Misnabe Aleihem, Vahein Oysim Teshuvah. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the next page 406, Hubo Uporeya Misoineim Shel Yisrael. There's a euphemism from Klal Yisrael, in other words, the contrast. I'm not going to do my mission because by doing my mission, it will result in a kidroik on Klal Yisrael. They will take note in Shemayim that when the Goyim are instructed to do Teshuvah, they listen, whereas Klal Yisrael, when they are instructed, they do not do Teshuvah. And therefore, it's going to bring harm to my nation. So you know what? Better I should run away. Umeh olai lasois, what am I supposed to do? Livroyach. Vayakam Yoina Livroyach Tarshisha Lufne Hashem. That's next pasuk. Ve'yered Yofai. He went down to the city of Yofai. Vayim Saniyabo Tarshish. He found a ship that was headed to Tarshish. Vayitin Sechora. He paid his fare. Vayered Bo Lavoyimoham Tarshisha Lufne Hashem. Now we discussed in great detail how was Yoina allowed to be Kaivish as Nevuasa. So we have different Mahalchim. We're not going to go through it now again. But basically, some of the commentators, they differentiate between different degrees of prophecy. Prophecy is not black and white. There are shades of gray in the prophet, different shades of gray in prophecy. And if it's black, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, puts words in the mouth of a Navi, he has no choice. But if the nevuah is light, it's general, it's not with a specific message, it's just an instruction to go and see what's doing and use his own words to give them mussar according in various different forms, that was pretty much the consensus of most of the first time we learned before Yom Tov. In that type of lightweight message, a Navi has the ability and even the power, the right, to say no, I do not want to do this mission. When Hashem said to the ultimate Nevuah, when Hashem told Avraham Avinu, "Kach no es bincha es yichidcha asher hafta es yitzchak," there Hashem used the word no, and Chazal tell us, "Ein no ela l'shoin bakasha." Avraham Avinu was not commanded to do the akeda; it was a bakasha. If you want to do the Akeda, please do it. This is what I would like to do. If you don't want, I'm giving you a way out. Ein no ela l'shoin bakasha. We discussed this before Yom Tov. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't. You can say this concept, no l'shoin bakasha, when it comes to two human beings. Because by definition, no person fully understands another human being. It's impossible. And therefore, you can say, I have a request. There may be things that I don't know, don't understand about you. I'm asking you, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this idea doesn't make any sense. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows a person through and through, and if Hashem makes a request of another human being, it means you can do it, and this is what I want you to do. This whole principle of Ein No Ela L'shon Bakasha doesn't make any sense with regard to Hashem and a human being. It makes sense with regard to man and man. So what then does the word No indicate? A concept that we really don't have any, we have no grasp upon. And that is, this is what I want you to do. And this is what you must do. And this is what is in your best interest, no matter what. No ands, if, or buts. But still, you don't have to do it. It's very hard to grasp. And the only the closest place where you get such a principle, such an idea, is here, Yonah. Yonah is instructed what to do, and Yonah says, no, I'm not doing it. And he's not even blamed. He does not lose his life. He gets away with it, which is shocking. Obviously, there's some principle of element of the gnaw that comes here into this pasuk as well. Okay, let's just begin a little bit for a few minutes. Pasuk Gimel. Okay, it's on page 404. Vayakom Yonah l'vrayach Tarshish. Yonah runs away to Tarshish. B'lifnei Hashem. Vayere edi Yofai. And he goes down to the city of Yofai. Vayimsa aniyah. And he finds a ship. Bo'o Sarshish. The ship is heading to Sarshish. Vayitin sechado. He pays its fare. Vayered bo lovoi mohem Tarshisha. And he goes down onto the ship to go to Tarshisha, milifnei Hashem. He is running away, milifnei Hashem. He is running away from Hashem. Now, there's a lot of verbosity here. Is it really necessary to tell us that he paid? He put in, gave him the token. He paid the fare. He bought a ticket.
Yes.
I mean, how else did he get on the ship?
Well, because so the Abraham El said okay. That it was. You know what he said?
No.
Oh, so he says the normal way to go because travel by ship was so tenuous about getting there. The minute was to pay when you were wrong. Mm-hmm. He paid in advance. Which was in against advance. The norm.
Uh-huh, okay.
And not only that, but he didn't want other people on the ship because he suspected what would happen and therefore wanted to make sure that there were no other passengers, so he paid for the whole ship.
Whole ship. He rented out the whole ship. That's another shot.
Rented out a ship.
Okay, so you already say two perushim.
Right, yeah,
Number one is not the norm. Number one is he did what's in advance. He paid cash.
He chartered the boat.
No credit card or check. He paid in advance. Number two, you're saying is he paid the fare for the whole boat.
Right.
No other passengers.
That's what he said.
And who was there? I guess the crew. The whole story was the crew. But no one else in danger. Right. Okay. We're going to see them first, but even before I'm just dripping off my tongue, there's another reason why it says that he paid the fare is because why again, Yonah's primary concern is there should be no kitroig on Klal Yisrael. Why did Hashem decide to destroy Nineveh? So we just learned about the Bachya and all the Mefarshim. Chomos, violence. If someone from Nineveh was going on a ship, he would figure out a way to get on the ship without paying a penny. Points. I have points. I have a fake credit card. I have a... I'm part of the crew. You put on a uniform. He would find a way to maneuver his way onto the ship without paying one penny for...
Stowaway.
So Yonah right away says, Rebbein Shalalam, I'm part of Klal Yisrael. I am a representative of your nation, Klal Yisrael. I'm just one of... Anyone will do the same thing. Look, I'm an honest man. I'm going to pay full fare. No points, no credit cards, cash.
No rabbi discount.
Full fare for my voyage. The total opposite of Hamas. So Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you want from Klal Yisrael? You're setting his whole concern according to most of the Mefarshim. Ribbono Shel Olam, you're setting me up to bring harm to your nation. You're going to send me to Nineveh. I'm going to give them Musar. They're going to listen. They're going to do Teshuvah. And now there's going to be a Kitroik, Klal Yisrael. They're worse than Nineveh. They're also Molei Chamos. And when I tell them to do Teshuvah, they do not listen. Ribbono Shel Olam, he's nipping it in the bud. We're not Molei Chamos. Look at the Kiddush Hashem I'm going to make. I'm going to go onto the ship with my beard and payas and my kapata, and I'm going to pay cash. He's paying the fare. So there's no need to send me to set up your nation for the Musa. He's trying to nip the whole situation in the bud by Adrabah, by being 100% honest. Let's see the Mefarshim. That's one of many Perushim in this. Every little word over here is jam-packed with Mefarshim.
That's why the Arbanel says he was a attempting suicides.
He was so there for yeah, what?
In other words, he intended to kill himself.
So what? Why?
That the boat would sink.
So why did he pay in advance?
Because they would. I know that he leaves that on. In other words, he paid in advance, but he was hoping that maybe they would kill it. He didn't want to do it himself. He wanted them to cast him over.
He wanted to show that he's very rich, so they'll kill him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
For his money. Okay, let's see. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, let's first look at the Mitzvah's Daf. Mitzvah's Daf, Pasuk Gimel, Levrach Tarshisha, Hu Chutz La'aretz. Where is Tarshisha? Good question. Hu Chutz La'aretz Mokam She'ein HaNevua Shora Al HaNevim. Okay, that's another, you said, is the Nevua is only Shora in Eretz Yisrael. He's running to a location where he believes Hashem will not be able to find him. Hashem is not as good as the UJA. The UJA, like, you know the joke. You make a play, and everyone knows the joke. Two people, they're stranded on an island. They're stranded on the island. So one person is going out of his mind. The other one is saying, I'm not worried. How can you not be worried? I made a pledge to the UJA. Don't worry. They'll find me. They'll find me no matter where I am. So the Rebbeinu, he's planning to go to Chutz Li'aretz, a place where there is no Nevuah, and how, and what's the obvious kasha? But don't we know that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he said Nevuah in Bavel, Al Nahar, Kivar, and there Hashem had no problem having a conversation with Yirmiyahu HaNavi in Chutz Li'aretz. What's the obvious answer? We learned this many times. The initiation to, he made a mistake. Nechnami, Yonah made a mistake. That if once Hashem initiates, the line of communication has been established with you in Eretz Yisrael, then that line of communication does not cease even if you travel to Chutz La'aretz. This that we learn, that there's no Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz, means there are no recruits. There are no newbies. There are no newbies in Chutz La'aretz. You cannot establish, get a license for Nevuah in Chutz La'aretz. But if you get your license in Eretz Yisrael, and the line of communication is established, and you then move, you travel to Chutz La'aretz, the line of communication remains open. So Yirmiyah originally was from Eretz Yisrael. That's where he established his line of communication. And now when he goes to, just the opposite, Yecheskel, what am I saying? Yecheskel, I'm sorry, Yecheskel, not Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah always was in Eretz Yisrael. Later he went to Bavel, right. Later. But Yecheskel established his line of communication in Eretz Yisrael, and then he went to Bavel. Then he went to Bavel where we had his Nevuah. So it was more Nevuah. But here, he made this mistake. He thought that by going to Tarshish, he would no longer...
Wait, not Nineveh. It was Tarshish that he said his Tunis, not...
Tarshish Tunis, not Nineveh. Okay. Yeah. And then we're and that's in with Turkey?
Tunisia.
Where is Tunisia?
One of the countries on the coast.
So now we understand why it's over here, Milifne Hashem. Now it says over here, in this pasuk, we have to remember it says Milifne Hashem twice. It says the beginning of Nei Hashem, and it says at the end of the pasuk. Very unusual that they have this expression twice in the same pasuk.
Right.
So the first time it says V'zeshem Lufnei Hashem, V'zeshem Lomar Me'amokam Shul Lufnei Hashem, from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's which is called from the place that is Lufnei Hashem, Fu Eretz Yisrael Shul Mikoyim Kibul Hanavuah Ki Pochat, he was afraid Pen Yovel Hanavuah Oipam V'yifarish ma yikra v'yuchrach l'leches. This goes back to what we learned in the beginning of the Sefer, is that over here at this point in time, Yonah was still able to ignore the message because it was not specific. Once Hashem gives him the details and gives him the words, he does not have the ability to say no. But at this point in time where it's still general, Hashem is saying, just go somewhere and see what's doing. Hashem is encouraging him. At this point in time, it's still within his power to ignore the Nevuah. V'alki ha'modas ninveh hoyero li'Yisrael. This goes back to what we learned before, because the establishment of Ninveh was an evil for the Jewish people, because they are going to be the ones. Sanhedrin is the king of Ninveh, the capital. Ninveh is the capital of Ashur, the nation of Assyria. And as we learned before, this Tekufa, we learn simply that Yonah was living in the middle of the Zman, during the time, the era when Sancheriv was exiling the Aseres Hashvatim. The Agolus of the Aseres Hashvatim took place over a period of time. It did not happen in one day, in one year. It took place over many, many years. There were many waves of exile. There were three primary waves of exile. And they already have begun the process. And it would have been in the best interest of Klal Yisrael that Nineveh should be destroyed. Then the Golus would come to an end. And all of the exiles would be allowed to return. So Yonah, by ignoring Hashem's instructions, hoped that no one would give them Musar. They would continue to behave in an evil way. Hashem would destroy them. And then the Golus would come to an end. And those who went into Golus would be permitted to return back to Eretz Yisrael. If Nineveh would remain as an established state, he did not want to be the shlich, the messenger, that they should be morally improved and remain in existence. It would be better that they should remain evil, they should be destroyed, and no longer will they be able to cause harm to the Jewish people. This goes back to what we said in Medrash before. This is another idea. Then if they're going to do tshuva, we're not going to do tshuva, it's going to be kitrek. So basically, the Mitzvah stuff is giving us two different reasons why he wanted to run away. One, al derech pshat, and one is more esoteric. The pshat is, if they remain evil, they will be destroyed. If they are destroyed, there is no one to cause harm to the Jewish people. And what's al derech, the esoteric approach? If they do teshuva in Shamayim, this will be a kidrag against the Jewish people. Look, they do teshuva, and we do not do teshuva. Here in one mitzvah, this is giving us two very different approaches to understand what is taking place. Vayered yofoi. Mokoim sheparsim sham hasafinus, the port city. Today, Yafo. Yafo, the port city, this Lechor is the same. Lechor, it's the same place, right? Can't imagine not. You have no reason to assume it's not until proven otherwise. Every time you have a place in Tanakh tells you this is the place, a place, we have a right, Lechor, to assume that the modern day location that carries its name is the same place until proven otherwise. Many times it's proven otherwise. Probably more often than not. But I don't think here we have any reason to assume not in this case. Right? There's another Yafo? There's another Yafo? I don't think so. Is there any in modern Hebrew today it's called Yafo, right? They call it Yafo. So is there any here the Nikud is Yafo? Is there any significance in that? Nowhere in modern 21st century is there anything called Yofoi? Is it a grammatical change because Vayered Yofoi?
I mean, they basically agree that that's
right. Of course, right. Like I said, until proven otherwise, you have no reason to assume that. Okay. Now, even though here it's with a Kamatz, which is that because it's the time of Hamikra? It's not a Soy Pasuk, it's a Kadma of Yazda. Should it really change? I don't think so. I don't know. I don't think it should change from...
Besides, in modern Hebrew, it would be Yafo anyway.
It's Sardit. So they dominated after they kach that there's no Zecher today of the Kamatz, maybe. Interesting. I don't know.
The only Kamatz is the Kamatz Katan, which takes the place of the Chaylon.
A Kamatz Katan takes the place of a Cholam.
Then it's an O, even in modern Hebrew.
Okay, but here it's not a Kamatz Katan. Okay, I don't know. For whatever, I don't know.
In Bible, there are Bible versions, not Jewish. In English, it's either Jaffa, J-A-F-F-A, or Joppa, J-O-P-P-A.
Right.
There's actually a town called Joppa.
And in Hebrew, we call it Yafo.
Yeah.
Okay. Shame ho'ir, let's see. Let's go further. Okay, further than the Mitzudos, on the next page. The Mitzudos, we have to turn over here a few pages to get to the Mitzudos, but page 409.
The Rabbi makes a point of saying that God, Yonah didn't make a bad calculation in terms of God communicating with him, but God blessed him with Harvey Shluchim Lamoko.
And that's what Rashi
right.
says.
Right.
Okay, we'll come back. Okay, we'll come to that. Okay.
Right. He said, well, he reads
with
Rashi in certain places.
Oh, let's finish the Mitzudos. The boat was Mukhenes. Okay? The boat, on the boat, it said this boat was slated to go to Sarshish. Vayitim Sechara, Hiktim Litein Sechar Techila, you quote from the Barbanel, he gave the rite of passage immediately. It seems that the minute was you pay on your way out. If you survive, if you survive the trip, then we'll take your money. Like you said, Shenosan Sechar Kol Hasfina. He paid for everyone. Leman Tamar Leleches. In other words, let's get going. Don't wait. So it seems like what this they have this in the Gemara. I remember learning in the Gemara Bava Basha talks to Mamish about this. This type of situation is that it wasn't like this today. Today the plane is leaving whether you're there or not. Okay, the plane is boarding. The boarding time is 12 o'clock or whatever. The departure is 12 o'clock. That's it. Half an hour before departure, the gates are closed. They shut the door. Too big. You're not on the plane. Get lost. That's not the way it was in ancient times, in all types of travel. You want to go? Okay. You want to go? Sit down. When enough people come, then we'll go. We're going to wait for every... What? They do it like that still? Okay. So this was the mode of travel. There's no such thing as departure time. We depart when the ship is full. And if there's one more seat, you're all going to wait. Because I want money for that seat. So you can wait a long time. So here Yonah comes to the ship. When is the departure? There is no departure time. When the ship fills up, we go. Yonah says, I don't have patience. I need to go now. We got to wait for people to come. I'm not losing money on you. I'll pay as make-believe everyone came. I'll pay for the whole ship. Okay, you'll pay for the whole ship, so we'll leave right now. This was the chart. This was the way it was done in ancient times. And I think El Al has one of the worst records for departure time. They had not that long
ago. Every leaving always late.
Always what?
Every leaving always
landing.
Late.
Land El Al.
And every landing
it's
always
late.
Why? It's Minigav Seinu. It's Minigav Seinu because that's the way it was. Security. That is the way it was. Laman Tamar Leleches. Lava Imahe Mamanche Hasvina. So he boards the ship. So here it says with them. Who is with them? If he paid for the entire ship, who is imohem? Mitzvah doesn't say in detail, but I guess it means the crew, the anshe hasafina. Next, okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, turn back a few pages, pas the gimel, back on page 404. Levroyach tarshisha yom. Sheshmoy Tarshish. The first thing we learn that Rashi is choylek on the Mitzudah, so vice versa. He has a different record that Tarshish is not a city. It is a yam. Okay, now do we know what that is today?
Tarshisha?
It's a yam. What?
Yeah, but it's not known as a body of water.
So we call Mitzudos clear as they said. It's a yam. It's a sea. What?
I don't know where you get that.
Okay, it's not what the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos Tzion makes it clear as if Hushem Mokoim. And Rashi says, Rashi, Levrech Tashish Yom. Okay, Yom, a sea. Okay, Yom means a sea. Sheshmoy is Tarshish. Vuhu Bechutzel Yoretz. Omar, Evrach Li Shom Shein Shechina Shoyro Bechutzel Yoretz. Omar Lech Lishvarechu Chayecha. So where was this boat going? Going out to the sea? Where? Where's your destination? It was an exploration voyage. It sounds almost like Columbus. We don't have a destination. We don't have a destination. We're just going. We're going to explore. Is that what it means? That's what it sounds like. It's a very big difference. If you don't like the Mitzvah's David, if you, what?
Does Yom mean like Yom or West?
You want to say it means West?
I don't know.
Yom or with a... Interesting, but it sounds no like it sounds like he's going to explore. He's going with a group of people who are going to explore the world, the unknown. They do not have a destination.
They're merchants.
What?
For
right. If you learn like the Mitzudais, we know exactly where we want to go. According to Rashi, we're explorers. Where we want to see what's out there. We have no idea where we're going. We're going to it. It's a very big difference. What is the mindset of Yonah? Yonah is coming to escape. Hashem is coming to grab him. I'm getting out of here. If Yonah has a destination, I'll find you. You went on this ship. You go on a ship. Where did the ship go? You look on the board. This ship is going from New York to Paris. Okay, let's go to Paris. We'll get a hold of you. This ship is not going anywhere. It's going to explore the world. You have no idea where to go. You can't track me.
Okay.
What?
A
pirate ship. I didn't say it's a pirate ship, but it adds, I think it adds a lot of flavor. If you take Rashi literally, he's going on the Yam. It's a exploration voyage. Then it makes a lot more sense. Yonah wants to run away. When you want to run away, you don't want to leave tracks. You don't want someone to find you. If you go into a location, a destination, they'll get you. No, there is no destination. That's all part of the flavor of running away. Now, but the Ribbono Shel Olam knows where you are, right? Okay, but it's maybe you're trying to say to Hashem, leave me alone. I'm conducting myself in a way to show you. I know Hashem, you know where I am, but I'm conducting myself in a way I don't want to know from this. I want to run away from you. And I'm serious. Ad kedei kach, I'm willing to go on a voyage to the unknown, to the world of the unknown. It creates a whole new flavor in where is Yonah going. Next. V'huchos liyaretz. Omar, evrach lisham shein shechin shor b'chutzos as v'chutzos v'chutzos. Omar, v'chutzos v'chutzos chayecha. What do you think you're going to escape? Yeshli shluchim. I have messengers. I'll track you down no matter where you are. I have the NSA, the CIA, the Mossad. I have, what are they called in Britain? They have it called, what are they called there?
MI5.
MI5 and MI6. I don't have two of them. So
MI6 is a higher level than MI5.
I've got a tracking device.
I'll track you down. Yeshli shluchim. I have a tracking device. Similar, I have something similar to you. I'm going to bring you back. You think you're going to run away? You're not going nowhere. I have you on a leash. A slave. Okay, so this is a very interesting idea of a slave of a kohen. So where does the slave go? You can't get me here. I'm going to the cemetery, and the cemetery. Cemetery, the kohen cannot go.
He said the boss is the kohen.
The boss is the kohen. So you can't get me. Shir barach me rabbi, v'nichnas lebeis hakvaris, amu le rabbi, yeish li avadim kayoitz b'cha. You think I can get you in the cemetery? I have slaves. They're not kohanim. They'll track you down in the cemetery. What?
No, the slave is not the kohen, but he's running away from his boss.
The slave can eat truma. The master is a kohen. The slaves are not kohanim. So here he's giving a fascinating mashal, comparing the entire situation. This is a beautiful mashal. The whole story of Yonah, according to the Rashi, is a Hashem is the kohen. Yonah is a Yisrael. He's running into the Beis HaKvaros, and the Ribbono Shel Olam cannot come after him into the Beis HaKvaros. This is sort of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim lived in Radin, and he lived right behind the cemetery. His home was right near a cemetery. And his youngest daughter, when she was little, would go play. And where would she play? Behind the house, in the woods, in the cemetery. And he worried about her. Where is my daughter? And he couldn't go track her down. It was a very big problem. And he would send people, he would have to recruit Yisraelim to find his daughter, because he could not go behind the house into the cemetery to track him. And his daughter can go. His daughter unless she's pregnant. We might pregnant is a sveka, nevel sugya.
If she's pregnant, depends on who her husband is.
But let's say her husband is a kohen. Husband is a kohen. If her husband is a kohen and a woman is pregnant, halacha is bizman azef. A woman is married to a kohen. Is she allowed bizman has?
She can't become tamei anyway because otherwise she can't eat truma.
Okay, well let's say they're not eating truma. Bizman azef, no one's eating truma. So halacha kshal bizman azef. Bizman azef. A woman who is married to a kohen who is pregnant, is she allowed to go to a cemetery? So the pashas is yes. The sfeik sfeika. Safik, is it a boy or a girl? If it's a girl, she could, the fetus inside. On the tzad that it's a boy, is a safik, it may be a nefel. So halacha l'maisa, a woman who is a kohen, a woman who is a Yisrael, who is eishes kohen, who is pregnant, is allowed to go to a cemetery. No, we don't say that. Halacha l'maisa, we don't say that. We say that she's kind of, however, let us say she had a sonogram, and they told her she's carrying a boy, then she's not allowed to go. If a woman has a sonogram, they told her it's a boy, she's not allowed to go to the Beis HaKvaris because only one suffix. One suffix is not enough to allow her to go into the Beis HaKvaris. That's the halacha. That's the way I remember the halacha. So this is the mashal, this is Rashi, this is paragraph of Moro Yoyna Shloi Rotzol Lelech El Ninvei Omar HaGoyim Kroyvei Teshuvahim V'im Esnabe Lechem V'yasu Teshuvah Nimtzei Smechai V'esis Shol. It's going to be a kidroik She'ein Shoyim L'divrei HaNevim. And what is over here it's saying? And notice he only says the perish of the esoteric interpretation. He does not give the interpretation of the Mitzudos Dov that he said both here in the beginning. The other interpretation is practicality. This nation of Ashur, they are in the process of exiling the Aseres Hashvatim. This would be wonderful if they would continue to sin and be destroyed. No longer would someone exile the Jewish people. That Rashi, for whatever reason, chose not to mention. Why not? Why not? Possibly Rashi holds, this was a discussion that we had, that Yonah did not necessarily live during the Tekufa of the Golus of the Aseres Hashvatim. When did Yonah live? This is a very big mystery. Did he live during the Tekufa of the Aseres Hashvatim, the Golus, or did he live earlier? Or did he not likely live later, but did he live earlier? If he lived earlier, the whole thing wasn't relevant. So then you could not give the first answer of the Mitzudos Dov. The Mitzudos Dov is very brave. By giving us this interpretation, he's putting Yonah in a very specific era. And you're limiting yourself, which is not so silly, because as you go through the Pesukim, there are going to be different hints and remazim as to at what period of time Yonah lived. And you're boxing yourself into a tekufa by giving that interpretation of Mitzvah. All right, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem.